Does the gospel free you to do what you want? I've written an article in the latest issues, etc. journal titled Better Than Good, Failed Attempts to Improve on the Gospel. You can read it by subscribing to the online Issues, etc. journal. Just click the red subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. You can also read Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer's spiritual journey from Roman Catholicism and American Evangelicalism to Confessional Lutheranism. The free online Issues, Etc. journal.
It could be that at some earlier time, somewhere in the universe, a civilization evolved by probably some kind of Darwinian means to a very, very high level of technology and designed a form of life that they seeded onto perhaps this planet. Now, that is a possibility and an intriguing.
Wait a second. Richard Dawkins thought intelligent design might be a legitimate pursuit?
And that designer could well be a higher intelligence from elsewhere in the universe. Well, but that higher intelligence would itself have had to have come about by some explicable or ultimately explicable process.
So Professor Dawkins was not against intelligent design, just certain types of designers, such as God.
That's Richard Dawkins, famous atheist, and Ben Stein from the documentary Expelled. So how is it that most people consider atheists to have the intellectual high ground here? They're the smart people, right? How is it that he, while denying that there could possibly, ever possibly be a divine origin to this world and to this universe and to life here on Earth, is perfectly willing, apparently, to believe that there might be an alien origin to life in this world? We're going to be talking about atheists and aliens, what it tells us about atheism as really a religious viewpoint. Pastor Peter Burfein joins us. He's pastor of Holy Cross Lutheran Church in Toledo, Ohio, author of the book Gnostic America, and an article for The Federalist titled Aliens Don't Exist, but they tell us a lot about atheists. Peter, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
Thanks for having me on.
You have recently written, the fact that aliens don't exist tosses a huge Molotov conundrum into modernist epistemology. Explain that, if you would.
Okay, so according to evolution theory, life should just naturally arise. And it may be a very small, remote chance that it does, but eventually life obviously will arise because it did on Earth. And the chances may, like I say, the chances may be very small. But here's the thing. There is 100 billion planets in our galaxy. And then there's untold many more galaxies throughout the universe. And then now people are even talking about the multiverse as well as parallel universes and all these things that physics says are theoretically possible. Well, if that's the case, then even if life happening is remotely small, it should still happen at such a scale that the universe should be teeming with aliens. They should be all over the place. Even in our galaxy, 100 billion planets, even if one out of a million planets were able to have life, surely a subset of those planets would have evolved a species millions of years in advance of Earthlings who would have been able to do cross-galaxy travel, and there'd be evidence of that somewhere. In other words, if the premises of evolution are true and there's no God, the whole universe should be teeming with aliens. And it's a paradox. It's called the Fermi paradox of why we don't have evidence of more aliens.
You mentioned there that the little postulate of Enrique Fermi. You note that while it's called a paradox, it really is pretty damning of kind of evolutionary theory and, as you point out in your article for The Federalist, famous atheists' willingness to kind of put aliens in the place of God. How do they do that?
Yeah, I mean, it's fascinating. I mean, there's no evidence whatsoever for aliens except as a figment of their imagination, or what I would call a phantasm, a sort of something crafted from human yearning. We want there to be aliens because that would make rational a world that's randomly evolved, and that's kind of the premise we've been building off of in our science fiction for the last 40 years. There should be all these aliens all over, yet we're not finding them anywhere. And that's a paradox. That's something they can't understand. And to what also gets really interesting is if you look at even, okay, so if you look at the evidence of religion, that there is an ancient Semitic people that saw or that were having an experience with this transcendent being that would periodically make entrances into human history, and that there's this avatar figure at the first century that we call Jesus, but, you know, if you look in a bigger picture, is this God becoming and taking on human flesh. Why isn't science able to say and even contemplate and say, well, what if that's evidence of aliens? I mean, if we're kind of thinking outside even our Christian box, looking at the big picture, kind of, you know, I'm not challenging my faith, but I'm kind of doing a thought experiment to challenge atheists. How do we know that there isn't a God who is basically an alien that's doing an experiment on this galaxy? But they just discount that out of hand, which to me is evidence that their atheism is not, you know, just sort of a objective scientific approach to say, you know, oh, we're just going to be led by the facts, but it's a avid belief in anything but the Christian God. It's a very spiritual thing going on.
As to the non-existence of aliens, there are two kind of explanations that are often offered. The first one is, hey, maybe we're just the first to the swimming pool. You know, we're the first civilization that has evolved to this point. And in time, though, doubtless, we will witness other alien civilizations coming to full fruition. What's your response to that one?
Yeah, basically, someone's got to win the lottery. Maybe it's you. And except this lottery happens to be one in a, you know, almost infinity. You know, it's basically there's 100 billion planets in Earth, and plus all the other universes or the galaxies around. If we are the first to evolve, that would truly be a remarkable, remarkable improbability. And if you're going to that point, then you might as well believe in God. I mean, you're dealing with in the realm of faith anyways. And to me, like I said in my article, that's just another example of geocentrism, basically saying, oh, we must be special, you know, because you know, the Earthlings must be special because we're the only ones here. What was the other one that you had in mind?
Well, the other one kind of puts us at the other end of it, which is we're so far behind the game, so late to evolve, that all these other aliens don't even bother with us because we're puny to them, and probably in their infinite wisdom, because they evolved so far ahead of us, they're leaving us alone because we're not evolved enough yet.
Right, and that to me seems almost like mysticism. What on earth would lead anybody to believe that if there's 100 billion worlds out there, and let's say there's a million places out in the galaxy that have life, that they would actually coordinate their system together and they'd work together? I mean, what on earth would give them lead them to believe that? I mean, if you look at our world with all the different species here, you know, they don't team up and kind of work together. They attack each other. That's the law of the jungle. And why wouldn't the law of jungle be the way it is in the rest of the planets? I generated a lot of discussion on this. I got some people emailing me saying, you know, well, maybe, you know, some people evolved and now they've devolved, or they've had their chance a billion years ago, but now, you know, they've already been extinct as a species and now it's our chance. So we assume that everybody's kind of evolving, getting better and better and better. So there are a lot of answers to the Fermi paradox, but still, we have no even evidence of aliens. There's just nothing. There's nothing out there. No roaming spacecraft that's flying around, no evidence of light coming from another planet or something. I mean, it's nothing.
Well, that's the point I wanted to dwell on for a moment here, and that is, it's you're not simply saying we've never met any aliens, or they haven't landed here, or we don't see their ships in orbit around our planet. You're saying we are actively looking with our very best, most sophisticated technology, and every place we look, we find zilch.
Nothing, right. And also that part of the Fermi paradox is that if there was a species that evolved, let's say 100 million years in advance of Earthlings that lives across the galaxy, just by sheer the nature of nature, would be to want to travel, want to move beyond your own planet, to expand, to see what's out there, to go. And, you know, and people say, well, there haven't been a lot of Earths or Earth-like environments that would be able to sustain life. Well, that's kind of geocentric also. Who says that it has to be the Earth's conditions in order for something to evolve? Why couldn't life evolve in a condition like Jupiter or somewhere else? I mean, it just, the evolution is very random, and there's a lot of things we don't know about science. It just seems a lot of self-imposed biases that go into the thinking that people do.
Pastor Peter Burfeind is our guest. We're talking about atheists and aliens on this Thursday afternoon, December the 1st. When we come back, we heard Richard Dawkins say he has no problem believing in aliens planting life here. It's just God he has a problem with. We'll talk about that after this. Folks, we have 5 weeks left in 2016, and we need $105,000 to cover our expenses for the year. Please consider making a year-end tax-deductible gift to support this worldwide outreach. You can contribute by check, make your check payable to Issues, etc., and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a secure online donation at issuesetc.org. Thanks for listening, and thanks for thinking of us at the end of 2016.
College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois offers ACT, SAT, and PSAT test prep, scholarship application classes, college and career counseling, and more. Hi, this is Lori Konski, president of College Preparation Station. We have helped our students obtain more than $7 million in tuition scholarships in 12 years. Find out more at cpsprep.com. Let us help you create a vision and find your future. The College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois, cpsprep.com.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and laypeople worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy publishes Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatics series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up to receive their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com. lutheracademy.com, and like them on Facebook, facebook.com/lutheracademy.
Your pastor has been called to shepherd you as a member of Christ's flock. Doxology offers an innovative program of advanced study retreats where your pastor can be refreshed, renewed, and refocused. Find out more at doxology.us. Many pastors report that doxology has been one of the most valuable learning experiences since seminary. Doxology, the Lutheran Center for Spiritual Care and Counsel. Doxology.us. Doxology.us.
Daily exercise for the Christian mind. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Do you long for a church where the gospel of the sinner's free justification is front and center, and yet where a robust sacramental life is confessed and lived? Do you long for a church that rejoices in the sacred scriptures as the sole basis for the church's teaching and proclamation, yet values and listens to the witness of the ancient fathers and councils? Welcome to the Lutheran Church. We are what you've been looking for. Find a Christ-centered, cross-focused church near you on the Find the Church page at issuesetc.org.
Does the gospel free you to do what you want? I've written an article in the latest Issues Etc. journal titled Better Than Good, Failed Attempts to Improve on the Gospel. You can read it by subscribing to the online Issues Etc. journal. Just click the red subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. You can also read Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer's spiritual journey from Roman Catholicism and American Evangelicalism to Confessional Lutheranism, the free online Issues Etc. journal. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about atheists and aliens. Pastor Peter Burfeind is our guest. Peter, earlier we heard that clip of Richard Dawkins from the Expelled movie where he is not willing to believe in life being created on this world by God, but he is willing to believe that life is planted here by extraterrestrial aliens. What's going on here?
Well, that's what's so bizarre about this. He's willing to grant that an alien came here and planted life. Well, what if that alien came here and shaped a human being in the shape of a man and then breathed life into it and then kind of kept an eye on this being and guided its... I mean, what if it was a creation story, essentially? No, it can't be that. It could be an alien coming here and creating life on planet Earth, but it couldn't be a triconscious being who decided to choose the Semitic peoples in the ancient world to try to work with them and had his own plan for how things are going to work. It couldn't be that. Could be anything else but that. It's a faith. It's an avid faith against Christianity, which to me speaks to the spiritual thing going on here.
if we leave someone like Dawkins aside and say, okay, he's a smart guy, but in this, everybody's a little kooky on something.
Right.
Isn't there also, and I've noticed it in popular science books. I have noticed it in what the current administration's desire to get to Mars. Why go to Mars? Well, we think there might have been life there. We assume probably there was life there. There is. They are looking at moons around the gas giant planets and saying, are there oceans there? And if there's oceans of water, maybe life. It seems as though the hunt for life in science is kind of an obsession.
Yeah, it has to be. Because if they can't, they have to find life somewhere else because of the premises of evolution. And I'm not going to go so far as to say that if life is found, it really throws a wrench into Christian ways of thinking or epistemology, but it definitely is for science. They have to find something outside of this realm because that's evolution should do that. Evolution is sort of a natural process that life will spring forth given the right circumstances, and if that happens, it should just sort of naturally happen. And if they can't find it happening, it is a paradox for them. Something that it's an issue they have.
I wanted your thoughts on the popularization of this, not only through the popularizers of science like Neil deGrasse Tyson and others, but also movies. I mean, we have movies that are essentially, some of them do have a universe teeming with life, like the Star Wars, and some of them have alien visitations, the one that's just come out. Is it Arrival?
Yeah,
I'm not mistaken. What about films like that speaks to the issue we're discussing here?
Yeah, that's where it gets really interesting to me, and this is where it gets into my whole investigation into Gnosticism and their work with phantasms and how phantasms take on a reality that transcend real reality. And it's interesting. I mean, more people are willing to believe aliens as they exist on the silver screen than they're willing to acknowledge evidence of factual historical things that happen as testified by the scriptures. But what I've found out or through some of my studies, especially through a book that is just a great book, it's called Monsters from the Id by E. Michael Jones. And he basically says that aliens are reflections of human yearning. It's what we want to be out there. So sometimes aliens will be, like you said before, they're these transcendent beings that are waiting for us to evolve. And if only we would be more progressive and work together and eliminate borders and you know, just the whole progressive agenda, then the aliens will manifest to us and lead us into the league of aliens or whatever it is. Or sometimes aliens are these monstrous beings that, you know, they're out there and they're going to destroy Earth. They're figments of human imagination, but they tell us a lot about the human psyche. And ultimately, as Christians, I'd say they tell us a lot about the human condition.
I'm fascinated by the fact that more often than not, at least, the picture that people harbor of these fantastical aliens and the ones that are often entertained by atheists are beings that come, in some sense, to save humanity. What does that tell you?
Isn't that interesting? that's Joseph Campbell when he was talking about Star Wars. And he was a Jungian, followed the psychoanalyst Carl Jung. And his whole idea was that all these characters in our literature and our movies are basically archetypes in the human soul from our collective unconscious. And so they're kind of manifested on the silver screen from our collective human unconscious. And they kind of take on a life of their own. But then they would say that Christianity does the same thing, that our God is just a reflection of our own self. But I would argue that, no, it's the opposite. Our God actually has a historical basis, has a historical event that defines him, the resurrection. And Christ did not emerge from from a human archetype. Christ was truly a character, a historical character running a historical event that shattered the typical human ways of thinking. But people want to hold on to these aliens. They want to hold on to these archetypes. It's fascinating.
Finally, I guess the question comes down to this, Peter, and that is atheistic evolution and its happy willingness to entertain not just the possibility, but I think many would argue the inevitability of alien life, maybe even the necessity of alien life. Is it a religion?
if you look at the process by which the ancient gods took on form, there's a psalm, I was looking at it yesterday, I forget where exactly it is, but it says, their idols are made of gold and silver, they're made by human hands, and then it said, those who make them are like them. Basically, an idol is sort of a manifestation of part of your own human behavior or a trait that you idolize, and you put it out there, you project it out, and you give it a palpable form, and you worship it. It's really self-worship projected out as something that's other, when there's no reality to it whatsoever. And that's how the gods came out. If you idolize sex, or if you idolize martial qualities or reason, you would project that out and give it an existence. Well, in many ways, that's exactly what aliens have, the role that aliens have taken on in the modern imagination. But now, instead of being silver or gold, it's a silver screen that where these gods kind of take on their existence. I would look at film as the place where our modern idols are in existence. They're no longer three-dimensional, they're two-dimensional, but they're crafted from human psyche, and they have an existence that becomes a source of human striving that works through movies.
Pastor Peter Burfeind is pastor of Holy Cross Lutheran Church in Toledo, Ohio, author of the book Gnostic America, and an article for The Federalist titled Aliens Don't Exist, But They Tell Us a Lot About Atheists. You can read it under the Listen On Demand page at issuesetc.org. Peter, thanks.
Thanks so much.
On the other side of the break, Terry Mattingly joins us. It's the 70th anniversary of the Christmas movie, It's a Wonderful Life. We're going to talk about its religious themes. Is this a news story? Terry Mattingly of the On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate joins us after this.
Are you tired of working nights, weekends, and odd hours trying to cover your bases at home just to make ends meet? At the Cleaning Authority, we call that the multi-job shuffle, and we want to end that for you right now. We'll train you in our proven, efficient cleaning methods, and you'll be partnered to work in pre-qualified homes. Call 314-416-8117 and walk away from the multi-job shuffle with a future in our St. Louis office, 314-416-8117.
Are you a homeschool parent looking for help teaching certain subjects? Or do you want your student to study the history, languages, and literature of Western civilization? Memoria Press Online Academy has live online classes with master teachers to help you. Their teachers have years of experience teaching, delighting, and moving students literally from all around the world. Your homeschool year doesn't have to be difficult. Visit MemoriaPressAcademy.com or call 877-745-8866.
Your lifeline to the Lutheran worldview. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The Issues Etc. book of the month for December is a Christmas book for children ages 5 through 9. It's titled The Christmas Connection. You can find out more about this new Christmas arch book at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase The Christmas Connection by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. Your young children, grandchildren, and godchildren will discover the relationship between Jesus' birth and resurrection in The Christmas Connection. 1-800-325-3040.
LCMS Disaster Response provides guidance and assistance to congregations who seek to proclaim the gospel and show mercy in the wake of disasters. We can bring capacity to your congregation through on-site assessment, volunteer training and congregation preparedness, and through grants direct to your congregation. For more information, follow us on Facebook, keyword LCMS Disaster Response, or visit our website at lcms.org/disaster. That's lcms.org/disaster.